As I told you on Sunday, that I'll let you know about the funeral arrangement. From most of you by now already know it, but just in case you did not, what I was told is that there will be visitation tomorrow at 10 o'clock, and the main service will begin at 11 at Bay Springs Funeral Home. Let's pray. Our most eternal and everlasting Father, we are thankful this evening for your love and your mercy. Thankful for your faithfulness. Thankful that you've given us this privilege to gather together and study a portion of your word. We realize that the human mind is incapable of focusing or concentrating on anything that is spiritual apart from the ministry of God the Holy Spirit. So it is a request that God the Holy Spirit will provide us the concentration that we need to hear precisely what you have for us this evening. This is our request in Christ's name. Amen. We're still in Exodus chapter 23, verses 10 through 13. Exodus 23, verses 10 through 13, reads in the 1984 edition of the NIV as follows. For 6 years, you are to sow your fields and harvest the crops. But during the 7th year, let the land lie unplowed and unused. Then the poor among your people may get food from it, and the wild animals may eat what they live. Do the same with your vineyard and your olive grove. 6 days, do your work. But on the 7th day, do not work, so that your ox and your donkey may rest, and the slaves born in your household and the aliens as well may be refreshed. Be careful to do everything I have told you. Do not invoke the names of other gods. Do not let them be heard on your lips. Now we are really continuing then with our exposition of the 10th law of community living in Israel that is concerned with individuals and their relationship to God, given actually in Exodus 23 verses 10 through 13. Now, as we stated in our introduction of this section, the 10th law of community living in Israel is concerned with Sabbath laws, the Sabbath laws. Now, we demonstrated that although the word Sabbath is not technically used in our passage, but that is what is meant in that phrase, the 7th day. Of verse 12. And the word rest in the same verse also imply the idea of Sabbath. Now, we indicated that there are two kinds of Sabbath that are mentioned in our passage, Sabbath observances. Now, the first is the Sabbath of years, described in Exodus chapter 23, verses 10 to 11, that we considered in our last study, where Israel was expected to follow a farmland at the end of every 6 years, so that the farmland is uncultivated on the seventh year. Now, the second is Sabbath of days, given in verses 12 and 13. Now, we indicated that instruction to Israel is to give rest to their farmlands after 6 years of farming activities that they get involved, and to give rest to humans after 6 days of work while learning and being obedient to God's word. Furthermore, we asserted that although Israel was expected to obey the instruction literally, however, the command given is intended to teach Israel to learn to trust in Yahweh to provide for them their needs as they obey His instructions. Now, this helped us then to derive the message we should hear from this passage as the Holy Spirit intends, and that is, trust that God will provide for you as you do your work and take time to rest your body while you also devote your time to study and obey His word. Now, with this basic review of where we have been with our study so far of this section, we proceed then with the consideration of the Sabbath of days. Now, the instruction governing the Sabbath of days begins with a general statement about the days the Israelites should work, as stated in Exodus 23, verse 12. Look at what it says. 6 days do your work. 6 days do your work. Now, the word do here, of course, is translated from a Hebrew word that has a range of meanings. It may mean to bring something about, as in the deliverance of Yahweh that He brought to Israel when the Egyptian army was on hot pursuit of them and they were facing the Red Sea, as stated in Exodus chapter 14, verse 13. Exodus chapter 14, verse 13. It is, Moses answered the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today." That word "will bring" is a Hebrew word. So the Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. Now, the word may mean simply to work, as it is used in instruction regarding the Sabbath, as recorded elsewhere in Leviticus chapter 23, verse 3. Leviticus chapter 23, verse 3. It is, "There are 6 days when you may walk, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of rest, a day of sacred assembly. You are not to do any work wherever you live. It is a Sabbath to the Lord." Now, the word also can mean to act, in the sense of carrying out something that one has been instructed to do or has been informed, so that it becomes an action someone can take. As that's the way it is used to tell Israelites, once they hear decision from their judges, they should go ahead and obey them. Of course, I'm not going to read it, but that's what you get in Deuteronomy chapter 17, verse 11. Deuteronomy chapter 17, verse 11. Anyway, in our passage of Exodus chapter 23, verse 11, the Hebrew word really means to do, in the sense of to perform. To perform. Now, the thing the Israelites are to do or to perform is given in that word work. That is translated from a Hebrew word that means work in the sense of occupation. Occupation. As the word also is used by Joseph in preparing his brothers to go meet Pharaoh, telling them that if he asks you, what do you do for a living, so to say, this is what you have to answer. So our word is used in Genesis 46, verse 33. Genesis 46, verse 33. Now here, the word that means work means occupation. So he said, when Pharaoh calls you in and asks, what is your occupation? That's the same Hebrew word translated work in the passage we're studying. Now the word may mean work in the sense of labor, as the word is used in the mouth of Pharaoh to accuse Moses and Aaron of distracting the Israelites from their daily labor simply because they told him, Yahweh said he must let this people go and worship him, as we read in Exodus chapter 5, verse 4. Exodus chapter 5, verse 4. It is, but the king of Egypt said, Moses and Aaron, why are you taking the people away from their labor? That's the same Hebrew word translated work here, yes, translated labor. Get back to your work. Now, in our passage of Exodus 23, verse 12, the word really has a sense, the word means work, in the sense of agricultural labor. Agricultural labor. Hence, every labor associated with producing of crops is to be performed or carried out in 6 days. So then, the instruction about working here is that they should work in 6 days, which is a positive one. But then that instruction is followed by a negative instruction. The introduction of the negative instruction, or prohibition really, is really introduced with the word but, that begins the next expression of Exodus 23 verse 12. Look at that clause. It said, but on the seventh day do not work. That's the alternative. Now that word but really is translated from a Hebrew particle that is often translated and in our English versions. However, the particle has several other usages. In our verse, it is used as a marker of contrast between what is to be stated and what preceded it. So that really the best translation is one that NIV has that. Now the particle tells us then that the contrast is between the 6 days already mentioned and the seventh day. As in that phrase, on the the seventh day. So the contrast is between 6 days and it's just one day, 7 days. Now in effect then, the particular introduced the target of the prohibition that contrasts with the instruction of the preceding expression of the verse. Now unlike the first 6 days where work is to be done, work is prohibited. On the seventh day, as in the command, again, of look at it, says, verse 12 says, do not work. Do not work. Now, literally, the Hebrew really says, you will stop. That's what it says. You will stop. Remember, it says, you go work for 6 days, and it says, on the seventh day, you will stop. That's what the Hebrew says. Now, the word work that you have in the NIV does not really appear in the Hebrew text, but it is supplied by the translators to enable the English reader make sense of the command. Anyhow, the expression do not work is translated from a Hebrew word sabbath, that may mean to cease. As in the promise of God to Noah, that as long as the earth remains, the seasons will not stop existing, according to Genesis chapter 8, verse 22. Genesis chapter 8, verse 22. It is, as long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease. That word cease is a Hebrew word that really means stop, though it's not directly translated in the NIV. Now the word also is used in connection with the Sabbath, so that it can mean to observe a Sabbath. To observe a Sabbath. That's one possible meaning of the Hebrew word. Now in our passage of Exodus 23 verse 12, the word really means to rest. To rest. That is, to sit still or to be inactive. Now, many times I've said that a whole lot of people cannot do that. They can't stand still. They can't stay still. Which begs the question as to what is the state of the soul. If you're restless, you can't stand still. So here God says, rest, rest. Anyway, the point of the Hebrew word used is to inform Israel that they should cease or stop on the seventh day the work they carried out on 6 days. When it gets that seventh day, they should stop it. Now, God is concerned with all He has created, as the psalmist declared in Psalm 145 verse 9. Yes. Yahweh is good to all. He has compassion on all He has made. Now we say all He has made, humans and animals. He has compassion over all of these. Now so God's concern for all He created is demonstrated in the reason he gave for prohibiting of work to Israel on the seventh day, as given in the clause. Look at what we're studying, Exodus 23, verse 12. Look at that clause. So that your ox and your donkey may rest, and the slave born in your household, and the aliens as well, may be refreshed. Now, the workforce of the ancient world, unlike modern farmers in highly developed countries, of course, that workforce of the ancient world consisted of animals and humans. Clearing farmlands for to get ready to so they can be plowed or tilled was done by humans, while the plowing, for the most part, or tilling of the ground, was carried out using ox and donkey, and of course humans as well. It's a combination. So humans were responsible for weeding around the plants and harvesting the crops. Now, this being the case, we are then correct to state that the sentence of Exodus 23 verse 12 that we are considering is concerned with the workforce of the ancient world. The workforce. Now, the farmers and their family were certainly involved in the farming activities, but the greater burden of the work was carried out by slaves and hired aliens. Now, of course, the modern farmer uses all kinds of machinery for farming activities, and so requires fewer human power, except in those situations of harvesting certain crops that are best done by human hands than by any machine never invented so far. So Yahweh is concerned with all his creation, but with greater focus on human. Now, you must care for your animals, but you must never put an animal on the same level as a human being. So, God, no doubt, has shown that to us, even in this instruction. Now, this is probably the reason that he separated a purpose of cessation of work on the seventh day for animals and that of humans. He gave it separately. For animals, look at what we read, look at what we have in verse 12. It said, so that your ox and your donkey may rest. Now, it may not be something you can see clearly in the English, but the Hebrew helps us to see this difference. That he is treating the rest of those of animals as different from that of humans. Because you see that word rest, it's translated from a Hebrew word a Hebrew word that's nuah. And it may mean to rest, to settle down, and remains so. As it then it is used for Noah's ark, resting and settling down on Mount Ararat, as stated in Genesis chapter 8, verse 4. Genesis chapter 8 verse 4. That word Noah, it's not like it's more like N-N-U-A-H. Anyway, it reads, and on the 17th day of the seventh month, the ark came to rest on the mountains of Ararat. Now, the Hebrew word translated rest, may also mean to have rest after laboring, as in the rest required of both humans and animals again on the Sabbath day, as per the instruction given in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 14. Deuteronomy Deuteronomy, chapter 5, verse 14 reads, "But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God, or Yahweh. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your manservant or maidservant, nor your ox, your donkey, or any of your animals, and the aliens within your gates, so that your manservant and maidservant may rest as you do." Now the word "no doubt" also may mean to store, as it is used to describe what to do with a tithe received every 3 years in Israel, as stated in that Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 28. Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 28 reads, "At the end of every 3 years, bring all the tithes of that year's produce and store it in your towns." Now, we made comment when I was teaching on tithing that it's not for Christians. This is one of those things that usually tithes involve produce, not money. Produce. Today, what you do is giving. And some people try to call it tithe, but it's not tithe. You just give as the Lord moves you to do so. Now, in our passage of Exodus 23, verse 12, the word means to have rest or to repose. That is, of course, to have rest after labor. Now, it is true that our Hebrew word is used in the fourth commandment as given in the passage that we started previously, that's really Deuteronomy 5, verse 14, where the rest is for both animals and humans without distinction. But in our passage of Exodus 23, verse 12, God intended to ensure we recognize that there's a difference in the rest of animals and the rest enjoyed by human beings. They're two different things. Now, the difference in the rest of animals and that of humans on the seventh day is really noted in the different Hebrew words used in restating the purpose of cessation from work on the seventh day as it relates to humans. Since, again, look at where we're starting, Exodus 23, verse 2. Look at that again. It says, "And the slaves, and the slave born in your household, and the alien as well, may be refreshed." Different word now. Refreshed. Now, literally, of course, the Hebrew reads, "And the son of your slave woman and the alien will be refresh." Now, remember the other word that was always the word rest. But here, that the word refreshed is really translated from a Hebrew word that appears only 3 times in our Hebrew text. In other words, the Old Testament scripture. And the word is concerned with refreshment. That comes from catching one's breath during rest. Hence, the word really means to take breath. To breathe, you know, take a breath. Or to be refreshed. Now, in 2 of its usages, the word is translated refreshed in the NIV, in our present passage, and in describing the refreshment David enjoyed as he fled from Jerusalem during Absalom's rebellion, as narrated in 2 Samuel chapter 16, verse 14. Now David was running because his son was trying to dethrone him, which of course was due to 2 things. Either way, it's discipline. One, discipline for not treating Absalom the way he should have. And secondly, because of the 2 sins of David. Based on that, he started running. His son was after him, so he ran away. Somehow, he got tired. And that's what we have here. He's being refreshed. So we read, "The king and all the people with him arrived at their destination exhausted. And there he refreshed himself." Now, there's something about running for your life or working for your life. For some reason, the Lord gives people strength. If once it involves your life, you just don't get tired until you get out of danger. And then you fall apart, as they would say, because you're exhausted. Now, I know what I'm saying because many times we walked for hours and almost days, no sleep, because you're getting bullets flying everywhere. So you're walking in the battlefield, and nothing like being tired because you're running for your life. Until when you get out of that place, then you collapse. So this is what happened here, and that is why he said, "And there he refreshed himself." They've been exhausted. Now they are being refreshed. Now, in the 3rd occurrence of the Hebrew word, the translators of the NIV rendered it rested. But this time it's really in describing God's rest after creation in 6 days, according to Exodus chapter 31, verse 17. Exodus chapter 31, verse 17. It is, "It will be a sign between me and the Israelites forever." That's this actual Sabbath. "For in 6 days, Yahweh made the heavens and the earth, and on the 7th day he abstained from work and rested." So they use our word, give it the meaning rested, but it's only used with reference to God, not with any other, not with animals. So as we have really stated them, the word is used in the sense of refreshed in Exodus 23, verse 12, to convey the concept of having rest as catching one's breath. As if you're out of breath. Catching one's breath from walking for 6 days straight. They were supposed to walk 6 days straight. Now, so refreshment for humans then involves restoration of strength, so that a person that is refreshed has restored energy level because of having rested. Now, again, like I said, it is not that God says you have to rest for us today. But if you do that, truly rest, as we're going to see, you find that come Monday morning, you're sharper in every sense of the word. But many times, many of us can't rest anyway. So we carry the sluggishness from 1 week to the next one. Instead of that rest, so you are refreshed. Anyway, there's more meaningful in terms of refreshing. It's more meaningful for humans than for animals, really. Thus then Yahweh distinguishes the rest of humans from the rest of animals, in that what rest does for a human is more beneficial in its effect than what it does for an animal. So the point is that the Supreme God, the Creator, recognized the limitation of human strength when compared to animals used as a part of workforce in the agricultural economy. And so he described the race of humans differently, or slightly different, from that of animals. So in any event, God is concerned with both animals and humans, and that they should have rest. That is a fact, with greater emphasis though on humans, because our bodies can take so much beating for some time before it starts coming back to us. Now, I know many people don't realize this. If people actually obey this, many things that we associate with old age will be lessened. It's not that they won't be there, it'll be lessened because of the fall. And this is what it is when we just keep going, like they said, the clock running just like that. You may think, I am so young now, it doesn't matter. Keep living, and you're going to pay. He'll come back and bite you. And people don't think about these things. God, who made our bodies, knows our limitations. So it is important to raise that body, mind and body, so to say, to an extent. In any case, one purpose of not working on the seventh day is for the workforce of Israel to rest and be refreshed. But there's another implied reason in the passage that we're studying, that is given in Exodus 23 verse 13 that we're studying. Now, on the surface reading of the verse, it does not appear to be concerned with the day of rest, but I contend that it is. Now, this is because if we do not consider the verse as part of the reason for rest on the Sabbath day or the seventh day, then verse 13 of this passage in Exodus 23 will be unconnected with what preceded it and what follows, beginning in verse 14. Although it could be argued that the verse is intended to reinforce the instructions of the preceding section and to summarize the law that Yahweh had given to Israel, as it has been popularly interpreted, but that does not explain the instruction about avoidance of idolatry given in the verse. So nevertheless, or nonetheless, it is probable that Yahweh intended for us to understand verse 13 not merely as a summing up of the law he gave to Israel, but as another reason for keeping the Sabbath or keeping the day of rest. Now this additional reason is that the seventh day of rest should be a day devoted also to the worship of God. That will be the second reason. A day devoted to the worship of God. Now this reason is certainly supported by the instruction given about one of the activities of the day of rest recorded in the passage we cited previously, that is Leviticus 23 verse 3. Get back to that. Leviticus 23 verse 3. We're arguing that what's given in verse 13 has to do with the third reason. I mean, second reason for giving the body, keeping the Sabbath day for Israel. Now remember, we read there are 6 days when you may walk, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of rest. Now look at the next phrase here, a day of sacred assembly. A day of sacred assembly. You are not to do any work wherever you live. It is a Sabbath to Yahweh. Now the sacred assembly of the Sabbath implies that it is a day of worship. Now interestingly, it is this interpretation that is reflected in the today's English version, in that instead of that phrase sacred assembly, its translators have it written this way: gather for worship. So instead of saying sacred assembly, they just say gather for worship. So they interpreted it correctly, in my judgment, as the day of worship. Hence, we contend that Exodus 23 verse 13 is concerned with worship as a second reason for taking the seventh day as a day of rest or refreshment. Refreshment, while not denying that it is also used in summing what Yahweh had already instructed Israel. No doubt about that. Well, we contend, however, that verse 13 is concerned with worship of the seventh day because the first instruction of the verse makes good sense if Israel were to be assembled for worship and receive instruction from the law. I'm referring to the instruction we have in Exodus that we're looking at chapter 23, verse 13. Again, look at it, it says, be careful to do everything I have said to you. Now, literally, the Hebrew reads, and you will be attentive to all that I have said to you. And you'll be attentive to all I've said to you. Now the expression, be careful to do, is really translated from a Hebrew word with a root meaning of to pay careful attention to something. And so the basic meaning of the word is to keep, but then with various nuances. For example, it means to keep in the sense of being responsible for something or for someone. And so it means then to have charge of or to guard or to watch. Thus then, Jacob promised to be responsible for his uncle's flock in the sense of being in charge of them, and a Hebrew word is used in describing that responsibility in Genesis chapter 30, verse 31. Genesis and hold on to Genesis. Here is, what shall I give you? He asked. Don't give me anything, Jacob replied. But if you will do this one thing for me, I will go on tending your flocks and watching over them. Now that word watching over, or taking charge of them, really, in some English version, is a Hebrew word. So the word also can mean to keep in the sense of serving or retaining something. Hence, the word is used for Joseph recommending the storing of food in Egypt in the time of plenty, when they have great abundance, to prepare for the famine that is coming, as stated in Genesis chapter 41, verse 35. Genesis. Genesis. Genesis 41 verse 35 reads, they should collect all the food of these good years that are coming and store up. That's a Hebrew word. Store up the grain under the authority of Pharaoh to be kept in the cities for food. Now the word also may mean to keep oneself or restrain or abstain. Abstain. As that's the way it is used to by the priests Ahimelech to convey to David that a requirement for eating the sacred bread was abstinence from sexual relationship, as stated in 1 Samuel chapter 21 verse 4. For Samuel chapter 21 verse 4. It is, but the priest answered David, I don't have any ordinary bread on hand. However, there is some consecrated bread here, provided the men have kept themselves from women. Now the word also may mean simply to be protected, or to be protected from something that will harm another person. And that is the way actually that the word is used for a promise you can claim in Psalm 37 verse 28. Psalm 37 verse 28. Psalm 37 verse 28 reads, for Yahweh loves the just and will not forsake his faithful ones. Now, if you're a faithful one, then look at the next thing. They will be protected forever. That word protected is really a Hebrew word, Samah, be protected forever. But the offspring of the wicked will be cut off. Now, in our passage of Exodus 21, verse 13, the word is used in the sense of it means to be careful or to be attentive. That is, of course, to be attentive and focused in something. So the thing Israel was to be attentive and focused is given then in the sentence of Exodus 23, verse 13 that we're studying, where it says, everything I have said to you. Now that word said is translated from a Hebrew word that is basically used for communication between humans and humans, or between humans and God. That the word is the word that a passage I've cited several times that Abraham used to try to protect himself, because the wife was so beautiful, even at the age of 65. And he felt, knowing how things were, somebody's going to kill him, take the wife. And so he used our word to say, you tell him, you're my sister. According to Genesis chapter 12, verse 13. Genesis chapter 12, verse 13. It is, say, you are my sister, so that I will be treated well for your sake, and my life will be spared because of you. Now again, this is, anytime I get to this passage, I try to remind us that lie, it may be, you may say something that is factual and still be lying because of the intent, the motive behind that. Because when he says, say you're my sister, he wasn't lying in that respect, because that's his sister. It's her sister. They are from the same father, from not the same mother. But they were able to marry at that time. But what was his intent? To deceive. And that's why it's a lie. Anyway, the word in our passage, though, really means to say or to express in words. So the best time then for Israelites to begin to focus on every instruction they have received from their God is in the public worship, when the contents of the law are read to them. So it is for this reason that we contend that the day of rest or refreshment for Israel is given also for their worship of God. Of course, eventually, Israel is expected to obey God's instruction, but the first step towards obedience of God's word is hearing the word and paying attention so that one knows what to obey. Now, this is one thing that a person can become refreshed spiritually. Because in real sense, if you think about it, if we're doing it right these days, you find that the day believers assemble together during that period is one of the most intense periods where all believers have been instructed the same way at the same time. Any other time, it's different, because you're not with other believers being instructed. And so this is one of the reasons that assembly becomes important. Now, another reason, though, we contend that Exodus 23 verse 13 is concerned with worship is that if that were not the case, then the next instruction that concerns prohibition against idolatry will not fit into the instruction of the previous section that is concerned with rest on the seventh day. Now, the next instruction of Exodus 23 verse 13 is given as follows. It says, do not invoke the names of other gods. Do not let them be heard on your lips. Now, literally, the Hebrew reads, and you will not mention the name of other gods. It will not be heard in your mouth. Now, the instruction really is concerned with prohibition against idolatry. That will be, this really will be out of place if verse 13 is not concerned with worship. See, it just means that Yahweh suddenly give them this. If he's not thinking about their worship, that should take place on that day they are supposed to be refreshed. Because it's full refreshment for Israel really should be physical and spiritual. Something to us. If you're fully refreshed and one day that you take rest, it should be both physical and spiritual. Anyway, here it says this God should not even be invoked. That word invoked is really translated from a Hebrew word that may mean to remember. To remember. Now, in our passage of Exodus 23 verse 13, the word means to cause to be remembered or to profess. So Israel was not to profess or cause to remember other gods, as in that phrase of Exodus 23 verse 13, the names of other gods. The names of other gods. Now that word name is translated from a Hebrew word that may mean name, that is really the proper designation of a person, place, or thing. Now, however, that word name, the Hebrew word, can also be a title for the supreme God, as that is the way it is used in Leviticus 24 verse 16. Leviticus 24 verse 16. If it is anyone who blasphemes the name of Yahweh, must be put to death. The entire assembly must stone him, whether an alien or a native born, when he blasphemes the name. See, the NIV use capital for N. The name. That's referring to God. He must be put to death. Now, the word, it can also mean reputation, but here in Exodus 23 verse 13, it is used with the meaning of name of other gods as representing any continuous trace of something that exists. Now, Israel was not to even mention those other gods. Now, here it is, in God did not deny the existence of these gods because he created them. They are supernatural beings he created, but their purpose was not for them to be worshipped. Though those having fallen from God's intended, they want now worship from humans, and so they are vying for worship from humans, hence the prevalence of idolatry. These gods, they are constantly seeking humans, finding ways to cause humans to worship them. And God says, you should not do this. So anyhow, the point is that unless verse 13 is concerned with worship as part of the reason for Israel's race, then the instruction of the verse is then misplaced. But it is not if we consider the verse as another activity expected of Israel on the Sabbath, namely that of worship. Anyway, we have really considered in detail how believers are to respond to the fourth commandment. That has to do with the Sabbath. But just in case you've forgotten and you want to refresh your mind, I suggest you go back to what we've been studying in Exodus. Listen to lesson 319. That's what we went at in detail. Go back and refresh it from the church website. However, really, I want to remind you that one of the activities you should engage on a day of rest. Now, for today, most of us, Monday, work Monday through Saturday. And Sunday, we take it as day of rest. Now, you should not be involved in manual labor on it. It doesn't mean you're going to hell. But doing that, it just means you're going to pay the piper, as you have said. In other words, God has given you us this instruction. Rest that body and refresh your mind with truth. And that's what we should do. If we don't, we somehow, this body will tell us, just keep living. And it will tell you. Anyway, this aside, we end our study of the laws about Sabbath with a reminder of the message of the section of Exodus 23 verses 10 through 13, which is trust that God will provide for you as you do your work and take time to rest your body while you also devote your time to study and to obey His word. You do that, you enjoy the blessing God intended. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for the study of your word. We pray that God the Holy Spirit continue to cause us to recognize that you care about our bodies and our well-being on this planet, that you have instructed Israel for which we are, should apply to us to give this body rest. Cause us to know that and to practice it in a way that will bring glory to you. This is our request in Christ's name. Amen.